And now, there as no stranger to you, but it's a privilege and an honor to introduce to you Brother Jordan Smith, who'll be bringing tonight's message. Brother Jordan.
Well, it's a joy to be here tonight. And I'm two Red Bulls in, slept about 5 hours today, and I'm going to work tonight. So you keep up with me because it's my morning time and I'm ready to get started, okay? So some of y'all look like you're getting a little tired, but I hope I brought a little spunk with me and we'll get through this. I've got about 28 minutes and I've got 3 pages of notes, okay? So you think I'm lying, but I do. I have to write everything down. I get a little nervous. Like he said, I get nervous when I get up here, and my wife gets twice as nervous. So I told him I understand. So, but I'm glad you're here. If you want to, go ahead. Well, not if you want to, but I hope you've brought your Bibles and you're looking for them. But we're going to be looking in the book of Mark. Chapter number 13 is where I'll be tonight. If you want to go ahead and open your Bibles and turn there with me. And I've got a thought tonight, the 3 W's to finishing well. The 3 W's to finishing well. And while you're turning there, I told Pastor it wouldn't be right if I didn't get up here and break the ice with a little bit of humor. So I told him I had a good one for him. I told Brother Caleb, I said I was going to open with a joke, and the joke would be Tennessee football. But I thought that might get us in the wrong spirit, so I told him I'd have to find another one. And so I heard this one about this young couple who had just got married. And so they were trying to, find their different roles in the home. You know, the man's supposed to mow the yard, where you're at, it may be the wife cook, it may be the man cook, and maybe you clean this bathroom and I'll clean this other, or you vacuum and I'll mop, and so they were trying to figure out, the man and the wife were trying to figure out, well, who's going to wake up in the morning and make the coffee? Nobody wants to get out of bed and make the coffee. Well, they got to arguing back and forth, and it was causing some real strife, and finally the wife looked at the husband and said, we're going to solve this biblically. She said, it's a proven fact in the Bible that it's the man's job to brew the coffee. And she said, what are you talking about? She said, have you not been in your Bible? There's a whole book about it. Have you not read Hebrews? All right, well, there's your humor for tonight. So there's my icebreaker. I hope that that made you proud, Pastor, when you look back on this. But we'll get started. I'm going to skip around in this chapter just for sake of time. And I'll start reading in verse 3 through 8, and then we'll skip over. And the key text that I'll be speaking from is found in 28 through 37. But the Bible says here in verse number 3, it says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. When ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. For such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. Flip with me over to verse 28. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know the summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know ye that it is nigh even at the door. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall not pass away, or heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is a man, for the Son of Man is as man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midday or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. I want to take just a few minutes and look at this topic of finishing well. And I think as we look at this scripture, we see that the Lord gives us some guidelines on how to finish well. And we know that these things are coming to pass, and no doubt that our time, each day, we're closer to His return. There's no doubt that I look around and I see me and my wife are just talking about how there's just such an evil around us. You can't hardly go out without having to cover your children's ears just in the shopping center getting your groceries. The world is getting worse, and this, our thing, our time is about up. But we look at this scripture, and the disciples here, they wanted to take some time and get with Jesus and ask, what should we be looking for? And Jesus specifically tells them not only to what to look for, but what to be doing. And if we want to finish successful, I've got a few thoughts. Now, they're not deep, but they're deep. Okay? I won't say that I'm a very educated man, but I've asked the Lord to show me some simple things that'll get through to me. Because that's how He knows me, because I'm His son. And He knows how I need it. And I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. But point number one, I've got just 3 points, all one word. I'll start with a W, so hopefully you'll remember, okay? Point number one, woe. Point number one is woe. As I got to reading this scripture, I found myself just pondering this passage. And I looked at verse number 33, and the Bible says here, very biblical terms, He says, take ye heed. Take ye heed, or slow down. I got to thinking about when I started to learn to drive, what my dad would tell me when we were driving. And he would tell me a lot of times, he would say, you know, whoa, son, slow down or pay attention. Because he saw some things out ahead of me that I needed to be looking at. And I needed to make adjustments when we were driving to make sure that I finished and we got where we were going. And as I started to look at this is the exact same as our Father sees a few things out ahead of us. And He sees what we can't see. And He says, hey, take heed or slow down. And you need to examine some things because I want you to finish well. And so I started thinking, well, Lord, what is it that you want us to take heed to? How is it that we're going to take heed? And as I read, I thought, I started thinking about what I'd read up in verse number 3. And how are we going to do this? How am I going to finish? Well, how do I need to take heed? Well, first I look and I read in verse 3. Read with me. It says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately. You see, if we're going to finish well, this is a private matter. It starts with you. It's between you and God. And you see what they did? They got alone with God. This wasn't something that they did in a large public setting. They weren't in one of the great multitude crowds. It says that they got alone. They got in a private room with the Lord. And you see, if we're going to finish well, we need to spend some time privately with our Lord. We need to have a time. I love, with a capital L-O-V-E, love our church. I love to come and worship. I love to come and serve. I love Sunday morning. I love Sunday night. I love Wednesday night. But I need Him Monday, and I need Him Tuesday, and I need Him Thursday, and I need Him Friday. And the Lord knows I need Him on Saturday when my Vols lose. So I need Him twice as much. But I'll tell you, it's a private matter. If we're going to finish well, we need to slow down and take some time and get alone with the Lord. And you say, well, what should I be doing? Ask God to show you. I thought about the prayers of David over in Psalm, where he said over in Psalm chapter number 26, verse 2, he said, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." You know, as I would learn to drive, I would ask my dad, you know, I wouldn't ask him every time because he'd let me have it every time. But I'd ask him, "How am I doing?" And he would tell me. And sometimes he'd tell me things I'm working on, things I need to work on. You know, he'd tell me, "Hey, you have that foot right there in that dark spot in the middle of the lane. You're changing lanes too fast." He would have a little bit of correction every time I'd ask him. You know why? Because I'm not perfect. And if you see me drive tonight, I'm still not perfect. I'm better than I was, but I'm still not perfect. Amen. Especially on Red Bull, that foot gets a little heavy. But luckily I drive a Honda and it's only got four cylinders, so we can't go too fast, okay? But we need to slow down and ask the Lord to meet with us privately. If we want to finish well, I need a personal renewing every day. The next W that I'll give you as I read this comes in verse 34. The Bible says this, it says, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants." I'm just going to pause right there and say, ain't it a privilege to serve the Lord? It's just a privilege to be able to do his work. But he said, "And to every man, his work." Plain and simply, if we're going to be finishing well, we need to be working. You see, every one of us have a call on our life. It doesn't matter what age you are, what gender you are, what occupation you are. I'm a firm believer that God has given us all gifts because that's what the Bible says. And the Bible says that we're to be using those gifts. Now you'd say, "Well, I'm really not good at anything." Well, that's perfect, because if you're not really good at anything, you can appreciate anybody who can do anything. So you know what you can do? You can exhort. You can say, "Brother, that looks so great." Brother Caleb and Brother John were over at my house doing a little work today, and they're doing some trim work. And brother, when it comes to this construction, those finishing things, I don't have it, brother. But I think I've already told you, you know, thank you, Brother John and Brother Caleb. It looks great, but exhort. There's things that we're not good at, but we can exhort others. The Bible gives us examples of different gifts, and I won't have you turn there, but I took some notes. And the Bible says this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 6. It says, "Now there are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences in administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but in the same God which worketh in all." And it's a privilege to serve the Lord. But over in Romans chapter 12, it gives us some guidelines for this labor that we labor in. And the Bible says this in Romans chapter number 12, verse 6 through 8. It says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that soweth mercy with cheerfulness." But he doesn't just stop with our gifts. He also shows us in what manner we're to serve, in what capacity. He goes on in verse 9 through 11. He says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord." It's a privilege and a joy to be able to serve the Lord. But the Bible tells us, regardless of what gift, to do it in a manner of love. And I look around, and if anything, I'll give you I hate to say a pat on the back because I don't want anybody to get prideful, but it's such a joy to look around and see others serving. There's so much cheer. There's such a joy on the faces of those that I look around. I get to serve with Brother Marty, and it's a joy to serve with him and Miss Phyllis and Miss Lillian and others around. But even when we come in the door greeters, everywhere I look, people serving with joy. And if anything, let me exhort you and say, you know, it's a joy to serve alongside you. But may I also be an encouragement to say, the end is coming. There'll be a day when we can serve no more. So I thought about it. We all get tired, especially me because I work nights. But we all get tired. And I thought about what this verse said. It said, fervent in spirit. That means passionate. I remember when I played football, you know, you'd go out there and I'd give 100%. I just absolutely would give 100%. But now I'm a big boy, okay? So to give 100% for four quarters, it was a lot, you know? And we'd get to that fourth quarter and you'd be just wearing down. The game would be coming to an end. And we had all our teammates, we had in camaraderie, hold up four fingers to remind everybody, hey, time's running out, but give your all. Give your all. Serve with passion. And so tonight, if I can, with this point of we're to be working, can I just be an encouragement? Our time's running out, but it's a joy. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not worthy to even read the book. But the fact that God saved me, I can't get over it. But the fact that I even get to serve Him, it's a privilege. It's a privilege for us all. And I hope that I can just be an encouragement. Let's finish strong. Finish well. Let's continue to work, but let's be fervent in spirit, passionate, and finish well. The last W that I'm going to leave you has 2 points. And that is watch and pray. In this passage, the word watch is used in two manners. Look with me at verse 33. Verse 33 says, take ye heed, watch and pray. Now, in that scripture, the Greek word used is a groupneo. And now, I'm no biblical scholar, but there's some great tools out there today. And this word agrupneo means literally to stay awake or to persevere. We're to persevere. It's the same perseverance and watch, the same Hebrew word there when it talks about putting on the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Billy Graham said this. He said, true prayer is a way of life, not just for use in emergency situations. Make it a habit, and when the need arises, you'll be in practice. Billy Sunday said it this way. He said, if you're a stranger to prayer, you're a stranger to the greatest power known to human beings. God's put a burden on my heart for prayer. And I think it's something that I've underutilized. For a long time in my Christian walk, I would go through habitual prayers. I would get in the same routine. I would pray without faith. And I wouldn't, I would just kind of get in the same ruts, Brother Marty. I found myself just in the same habitual prayers. And God started to work in my life on my prayer life. You see, we're to be persistent. And why do I think that persistence in our prayer life is so important? Well, you see, I've discovered that prayer goes where I can't. Amen. There was a long time in my life that I tried to fix me. And brother, I'm a mess. But I'm glad that I can go to the Lord in prayer. And I can seek Him and He'll do a work in me. But then He'll also, when I see, I think about times that I've prayed and I've had to have faith. And God's done a work through faith. You see, we're to be persistent in prayer because it goes where we can't. I'm as most of you know, I work in the medical field, and I'm thankful for that call on my life to work and be able to help patients. And it's a blessing and it's a curse, because I'm there to help people, but sometimes I get to the point where I can't. You know, I've done everything I can do. And I can see some of the storms that my patients face, and they may be going through certain illnesses and things that I cannot fix. But you see, when I step in my prayer closet, God's helped me to overcome my doubts and grow my faith. And you see, when you start doing that, it will grow you in your walk. Because you actually, I know God is big, but each day He gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so regardless of how big the waves are in the storm, I've come to realize that it's not how big the waves are or how mighty the wind is. It's who's in my ship. And that is enough to be an encouragement to all of us. We need to be persistent in prayer, not only because prayer goes where we can't, but if you look in the Gospel of Matthew, when we look at this parable, the Bible says this in Matthew 24:42. He says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think, the Son of Man cometh." Now, I always like to go back to the Hebrew definition, okay? And as I looked at this definition of house in Hebrew, not only does it mean a literal house, as you would think of in a parable, but it also means your home. Can I say that we need to be persistent in prayer because our home needs it? Can I tell you there's a generation coming behind us? I absolutely love working with the kids. It's the biggest blessing that God's ever opened the door for me to serve in. I love watching those kids grow up, and I love seeing them get excited about the Lord. But if we don't set some prayers now, I'm afraid we'll fall short for a generation growing up. You see, I'm here because of some prayers of my parents. If somebody hadn't have prayed for me, it's no telling where I'd be. And I think about the example of Elisha and Elijah, and how Elisha prayed for rain. And it was Elijah that was out plowing his field. Now, he was only out plowing his field. Keep in mind, there was a drought. He had prayed that there wasn't any rain for a long time. But when Elijah prayed there was rain, there was rain. And so there he was out plowing in the field. So what are you getting to? I'm getting to, because one man prayed, there was a generation that was out working. And it was because of his prayer, prayed back. I forget, it's like two chapters before that you see the prayer of Elisha, that we see that God worked that out. Two chapters four, and I wish I'd looked that up, but God just brought it to my remembrance there. But as I look, we need to be in prayer for our family. We need to be in prayer for the generation coming behind us. We need to be in persistent prayer to keep us right. You see, Mark chapter 14, you should be right there if you're in your if you've got a Schofield right there on 1065. 14 verse 38 says, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." We should be persistent in our prayer life because it helps keep us straight. You see, you deal with the same flesh I do. Your flesh is just as weak as mine is. I think a lot of times we like to be straight-laced suit and tie Christians. And I tell you, I fall short. I'm broken. I have pieces that they're not perfect. But I have a God who takes my broken pieces and He'll put them back together. But if I don't realize my weakness and take it to the Lord, I'll fall. And that's what he's trying to warn us here. So we need to be persistent in prayer. And lastly, the second meaning, the second Hebrew meaning to this word watch is Gregoriou. I think I may have butchered that pronunciation, but that's the way that it looks. And it literally means to watch. Literally, to watch. And so my question to you, I'll have the instrumentalists if they want to go ahead and come. We're to be literally watching. Are you watching for the Savior to return? You see, our time's running out, and God gave us some warning signs. He said there would be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes, and I see all this on the news. I about can't hardly stand to watch it. But things are lining up for his return, and my time's running out. But I would dare say not one of us is affected by someone who they know that's still lost. And so if we don't hold up our four fingers and remember that this is the fourth quarter, there's people who are going to split hell wide open. It's not even fun to say. And I think about some of the coworkers that I love. I love to work with them dearly. But if something doesn't change, the fruit's not there. And I don't know. You see, there's a generation that's coming up that knows of God, but they don't know God. And my fear is there's so many people who will slip off of even a church pew knowing of God, but never meeting the Savior. So my prayer is, can we slow down? Whoa. Let's slow down. Take a look at ourselves. Privately, let's get alone with the Lord. Make sure that we're lined up. Because time's running out. We need to be working, each one of us. We have a gift, big or small. But the time's running out where we don't have time to work. And when my Lord comes back, I always thought about, you know, your mom would tell you to do something when she was at work when you were a kid growing up. And she'd give you that call, she's on the way home. Well, I always got busy after I got that phone call because I knew she was going to be coming home. Well, can I tell you, I've looked around, and from what I can see, things are lining up for his return. I want to be busy about his business. Lastly, I'll ask, how's your prayer life? It's a privilege to pray, just to enter into the throne room. But we need to be praying because there's a home that God's put you in. There's children God's given you. There's others around you. As far as I know, I think every one of us knows someone that's lost. Our time's running out. And if we don't get serious about this thing, you can go ahead and start playing. If we don't get serious about this thing, they're going to split hell wide open. And I love them. And I don't want to see them split hell wide open. I think about my kids. Eli's getting to the age. He's got questions. It's exciting, but it's also nerve-wracking. I want these kids, as they grow up, I want to point them to Christ. And I'm excited because I can see God starting to work, and he's got questions. Maybe your kids are too. Maybe it'd be a good time for you to pray for your children. Maybe your children are grown. It doesn't take that same love, the same way I love my 5-year-old. You love your 55-year-old, amen? But maybe it'd be a good time for you to stop and pray for them. Maybe there's something that you deal with and you struggle with. Maybe you have a weakness. God can help you with that. He asked us to watch and pray because he knew we had to deal with our flesh. He knew we were weak. How's your eyes? Are your eyes set on him? I'll have you go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. And I just want to ask each one of you, the invitation's basically already been given, but how are you going to finish this thing? How are you lining up? Are you taking a minute just to see? Just take a minute and see how you line up. If you line up, praise the Lord. Maybe there's areas that you can improve on. God will help you with those. I'll have everyone go, if you want to go ahead and stand. As they play softly, these altars are open if you need a place to come and pray. I know it's been a little bit of a different service tonight, but we need some people who want to finish well. Maybe the Lord's put a work on your heart. Maybe there's something you ought to be serving in, or many ministries of the church. It's a privilege just to serve Him. Maybe you ought to take time just to thank Him for the privilege to serve.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the reminder tonight from your word. I pray that we would finish well. And Lord, I pray that you would use us for your honor and for your glory. We love you. Thank you for the time that we've had here this evening. Thank you for the message that and how you used our brother, Brother Jordan. And I just pray that you'd continue to bless him and use him for your honor and for your glory. Be with us now as we go to our respective homes. Thank you for the time that we've had here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being here this evening. You're dismissed.